WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Randy Ackley is working at refugee camps in Macedonia. He's a public information delegate with the International Committee of the Red Cross. He's working with the hospital, the water treatment program, and the tracing services program that is trying to reunite refugee families that have been separated while fleeing Kosovo. We spoke with him this morning from Macedonia. Earlier in the day, he was at the Brashta refugee camp when a truck of refugees pulled in. I asked if those refugees had been brought there to be reunited with lost family members.
Yes. What we were able to do was identify families that had been split between two different refugee camps. It was pretty heartwarming to see. I was in the Brashta camp where the refugees were brought in an army truck, about 25 people in the back of a truck with an open, with a canvas over it and an open back. And as they came out, you could tell that many of them were tired, but they had been staying in the Boyane camp about 40 kilometers away. You could also tell that the crowds outside the area that was cordoned off were very excited about seeing family members and friends that were getting off of the truck. It was very exciting for them. So even though they were tired, and you could tell they were ready to find somewhere to settle down, they were pretty heartened at the moment.
Have you heard any specific stories about how the families were separated from each other?
I have, actually. And unfortunately, in the rush to bring people to more safe conditions in from the Blache retention area by Blache, they unfortunately, people got split up in the rush. One young lady with her 18-month-old baby girl was in my car the other night, and she had explained that their family was pretty much together up until Blache, and then they were separated. Her husband and she and her two daughters were separated from their other daughter and son. The daughter was 16 and the son 10. She described not being able to eat, and neither was her husband, for over a week because they had no idea where their children were. And then the night that we were able to reunify them, she said, you know, I feel like I'm in Paris. I feel like I could jump to the moon. This same lady in that same conversation explained that, you know, a year ago we had our business, we had our home, we were a happily settled family, you know, having our lives, and now all we have left are this, our souls and the clothes on our backs. And so there's a real mix of emotions there. First, of course, the trauma of what everybody, all of the refugees are going through, and certainly the trauma that this family had gone through. But then, of course, they were just absolutely thrilled that the Red Cross was able to locate their children and get them back to each other's arms.
How did the system work for them in reuniting them?
What's happening at this point is the Red Cross system, we register refugees at the camps. We register them in the communities where they've taken refuge with host families. And we also have registration with the countries that are accepting refugees, the third-party countries that are accepting refugees. All of that data is going into a computer system run by the International Committee of the Red Cross. The system also is being provided information from Albania as it becomes available, and as soon as we're able to get into Yugoslavia, we'll be providing information from the Kosovo area and Yugoslavia as a whole. What we're hearing now, what we're seeing now, are those people who have been split apart between camps, and that's fairly easy to connect because the data is readily available. People are getting the data in as we speak, and we can make the connection because they're close in proximity. But unfortunately, the fact is it will probably take longer for people, for a lot of people, to find each other. One of the very sad elements of this whole tragic disaster is that we've already, as of yesterday, received over 250, between 250 and 270 children who have come to the Red Cross 18 years and younger and said, can you please help me find my family? And we've received 735 parents have come to the Red Cross and said, please help me find my children. Of those, only three matched. So just as of yesterday, we know that there are over 1,000 children split from their families, and the unfortunate truth is we know that this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are hundreds of thousands of people who have been displaced, and any normal mass movement of people, there is a small percentage, 2 to 5% of children that gets separated from their parents, and here we're seeing a tremendous number of people who have gone through that, and we're very concerned about the number of people who have been separated from their children. So that's our highest priority at this point.
In your discussions with refugees, I'm sure the subject must come up of why they fled Kosovo in the first place. What patterns are you hearing?
Well, I think we've all been hearing very similar stories, and they aren't, I mean, it's easy to understand why people have come here. The stories I'm hearing are of people who have been forcibly asked or forced from their homes and from their towns. And
are you hearing anything?
That I really can't say.
You know, some of the Serbs are saying it's not that they were forced out of their homes; it's that they're fleeing the NATO bombing. Have you heard directly from any refugees that they left Kosovo because of the NATO bombing?
No, I've been here about 5 days. I've never heard that.
My guest is Randy Ackley. He's working with the Red Cross in refugee camps in Macedonia. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Randy Ackley, a public information delegate with the International Committee of the Red Cross. He's speaking to us from Macedonia. He was working in the Brazda refugee camp today. What are conditions like now at the refugee camp where you are? And maybe you could kind of describe the camp for us.
The camp is actually very well organized, but it's a camp. I mean, it's many, many tents. There are several camps I've been to. Brazda is the one today with, there are roughly 2,000 tents in the camp. And the population I've heard, it's not reliable, but because the numbers have changed since I last heard this number, but it was at one point holding 26,000 people. It might be more or less now. The services provided are pretty thorough. We're very comfortable at the moment that we have the vital necessities, the life-sustaining necessities, the food and the water that are necessary. The camp management has done a good job of getting those supplies to the refugees. The Red Cross and other organizations are working together to supply them. But, you know, with all of that said, it's organized, it's orderly. People have a place to feel somewhat secure. They're living in tents out in the open on what used to be a sports airfield, which gets freezing cold at night, which can be blistering hot in the sun. And the things that they need most at times are things like telephones. And we have an organization, the ICMC, which has actually set up telephones, which is helping tremendously. But this is not the life you or I would choose. It's not a life anybody would want. And it's it can be a terrible existence, even though your vital necessities are met. So it can be very hard.
You've been working with the Red Cross Field Hospital. What kind of health problems are you seeing?
What the hospital is seeing is, of course, pregnancies. There are several people who are pregnant and are receiving care from the field hospital. But we're also seeing, in children especially, bronchial problems, pneumonia. We have patients with pneumonia. We have cases of digestive problems, some diarrhea, even in some cases constipation, which is a serious issue if you're feeling uncomfortable and you have pain. So a variety of things, but the good news is we don't have any evidence of any epidemics at this point. The population that's come into the camp is relatively healthy and well-nourished, for the most part, people are in fairly good health. So that's the very good news. But, of course, given this high population kept in a very small area, everybody needs to maintain their vigilance and maintain the sanitary control and keep on top of the medical issues as they arise.
We're hearing reports that there are still more refugees headed out of Kosovo. You were at the border today. Which part of the border were you at, and what did you see?
I was at a crossing at Blace, and what I saw were several hundred refugees who were coming over from Kosovo. This time, they had come over on foot from close to the border. They had actually driven from their villages just this morning, and they were forced to leave their cars and transportation away from the crossing point. But they were being bused to the Brazda refugee camp about 10 kilometers away. The people were in pretty good condition. There were a few that were exhausted. One man was on a stretcher for exhaustion and kidney problems, but the interesting thing was that we were told that there were additional 30 to 40 tractors coming that hadn't yet arrived, each tractor carrying a load of refugees. So we haven't seen them yet. We're waiting to see them to get an idea of what that will involve.
You know, Randy, I know it's your job as a public information delegate with the Red Cross to deal with the media, people such as those of us here at Fresh Air. The refugee camps have become really a big media event. Like, you can put on certain cable news stations in the United States, and you're likely to see a broadcast from a refugee camp. And I'm just wondering what it's been like for you on the media end, because it really has become not only a tragic event, but also a media event.
Well, I think there are a couple of points. One is there is the feeling that of working with, you know, our friends with amongst the refugees. They want their story told. They clearly know that the world is interested, and they don't want they don't seem to shy away from some attention. Although, then there's the other point where at times the media attention can be obtrusive. There's no way around it. And what I think many people are concerned about is that, you know, if a family is just reunited, it's a wonderful story, and up till now they've been very understanding and working with us and with the media, and it's been terrific. But I think at one point I was a little concerned when I saw a camera crew actually get into a tent with a family. I thought that was a little bit obtrusive. On the other hand, the family was fine, and they were fine with it. But we do try to make sure that whenever the media is involved, certainly if we're present from the Red Cross, we make sure that the families are open to and willing to participate and are willing to have the media watch them as they go through what are incredibly personal experiences. Another aspect is the camp is a very large place. So when a crew sets up a place to do live shots, or they set up a semi-permanent place to do broadcasts from, it really isn't that doesn't seem to be that much of a problem, and actually the kids like watching and getting involved, so it can be fun from that perspective.
Randy, what inspired you to do this kind of work, to work with the Red Cross?
I was a lawyer in Miami, and started volunteering with the Red Cross, and I just have to tell you that as a volunteer and working with a disaster, in that case, my first disaster was a hotel fire. Sitting with a family and helping provide the father with dentures so that he could chew food again. You can't do that. You can't do things like that, helping people like that, and not want to do more of it. And frankly, volunteering with the Red Cross and working with Red Cross has been the most rewarding thing I can possibly imagine. So I guess that's it.
Randy Ackley is a public information delegate with the International Committee for the Red Cross. He spoke to us from Macedonia. Our conversation was recorded earlier today.